The Holy Gospel this morning is from Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the kingdom of heaven will be like this, 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was 6 years old, I was playing in the backyard and received a really, really terrible gash on my back that required stitches, quite a few stitches. Now, there was a sharp edge on the slide, and as I went down the slide, you get the picture. So I told my mother that I had a scratch, and off we went to the doctor's office. Now, in those days, the parents would stay in the waiting room, and so I went in with the doctor. And as the doctor was administering a lidocaine shot to my back, apparently my mother could hear my screaming all the way in the waiting room. And so the receptionist called my dad from work and said, "You need to come." When he arrived, he found that he was not there to comfort me. He was there to comfort my mother, who was in that waiting room, feeling faint with her head between her knees, and dad was told to take care of her. Well, just then, I emerged from the examination room with a lollipop in my mouth, and I announced to the whole waiting room, "That wasn't so bad." And while my dad laughed, the look on my mom's face said it all. The waiting had been exhausting. Many of us have been in those kinds of waiting rooms, on one side or the other. So I know that you understand this idea that waiting is hard work. Waiting rooms are full of anxious people who wait for so many different reasons. Waiting for a child to be born, to hear the results of a surgery or a biopsy, or waiting for pain-relieving medication to finally take effect. And as a church, we also wait. We wait for Christ's return. And yet, we cannot allow the pain or distress or even injustice of this life discourage us. Waiting is hard, yes. And yet, the kind of waiting that we do is not passive, but it's an active kind of waiting. We have things to do. Jesus addresses this parable from Matthew about the bridesmaids who wait with their lamps. Well, some wait with an extra supply of oil, those I like to call the Girl Scouts. They apparently were better prepared than all the rest. But seriously, all of them fell asleep, even the ones who were super prepared, because all of them were exhausted by the waiting. Here we recognize Jesus as the bridegroom who comes to the people who are so very ready for redemption. But before the Lord returns, Matthew tells us, we must wait. Our God will be delayed, and none of us knows the day or the hour. We are cautioned, though, to be ready. But what does it mean to be ready? I wonder if it has something to do with the eagerness of our hearts, for the willingness to hope and to trust that our redemption, when it does come, comes only from the Lord our God. Do you recall the disciples waiting in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus asked them to keep watch well into the night, and yet these disciples fell asleep, exhausted from the events of the night. But mostly, I think they were exhausted by the anticipation of what was about to unfold. Waiting in the garden with Jesus must have had a somber feel to it. The disciples saw the writing on the wall, and they knew what was coming for him. They knew it would not end well for Jesus. What the disciples hoped, but they didn't know for sure, is that God would take the most difficult of situations and transform it into a resurrection moment. But now we know that until that time comes for all of us, we are here and we are waiting. There's a poet by the name of Mary Oliver who wrote something about this waiting in the Garden of Gethsemane. She writes, "The grass never sleeps, or the roses, nor does the lily have a secret eye that shuts in the morning. Jesus said, 'Wait with me,' but the disciples slept. The cricket has splendid fringe on its feet, and it sings, have you noticed, with its whole body? And heaven knows if it ever sleeps. Jesus said, 'Wait with me,' and maybe the stars did, and maybe the wind wound itself around a silver tree and didn't move. And maybe the lake far away, where once Jesus walked as on blue pavement, lay still and waited, wide awake. Oh, the dear bodies slumped and eyes shut that could not keep that vigil, how they must have wept. So utterly human, knowing this too must be part of the story." That is where Christ meets us, in the utterly human nature of it all, as we wait, patiently or impatiently. A vision of waiting that is very human, the kind of waiting for us that it is to learn how to lean into these years and these centuries until Christ comes again. But until that time, no matter what is weighing upon us, no matter what is causing pain or heartache or discord, that is precisely where Christ meets us. In the darkness, in the waiting room, in the uncertainty, in the hope. In the hope of what is to come. Waiting requires patience, something that I fully admit I am in short supply of most days. You see, I want to see the results of what God is planning. I dream of seeing the pieces of these puzzles put together and get a glimpse of what God is preparing. But it's not for us to see, right now anyway. Not until the time is right. Now, this parable is not intended to evoke fear, but to heighten our senses, to anticipate a celebration. Robert Capone writes that the ultimate point here is that a party is being planned, and we are invited. He writes, "When all is said and done, and we have scared ourselves silly with the now or never urgency of faith and the once and always finality of judgment, we need to take in a deep breath and then let out a laugh. Because what we are watching for is a party, And that party is not just down the street waiting to come in our direction. It is already in our basement, banging on the pipes and laughing its way up into the stairs. The unknown day and hour of it finally bursts into the kitchen and goes its way through the entire house. And this is not dreadful. It's part of the divine grace that we are to receive. God is not our mother-in-law coming to see whether the wedding present china has been chipped. He is instead like an old uncle with a salami under one arm and a bottle of wine in the other. We do need to watch for him, but only because it would be such a pity to miss all the fun. Instead of the waiting room being a place for weeping, I think we can relax a little and realize that the party of all parties has already begun. And now, it's just a matter of time. Thanks be to God.